Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with Life Support Outreach Church and the Prayer Room Ministries. I just thank God tonight for another opportunity to be back on the radio broadcast. This is your host, Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean. And I just thank God on tonight. We're going to have our Bible class tonight. We're studying interpreting dreams and visions. And God is so good. I just want to call our Bible class to order now. We're going to have a song of scripture and a prayer. Amen. God is good. I just give God reverence. I give God reverence, who is my life, and to everyone in their respective places, to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places, I thank God for being here on tonight. Amen. Amen, amen. And I heard the static in that, and it's still static. And I don't know why it's static now, but I'm going to read the scripture now. Just one second. Let's see if I can do this other phone. Is it a lot of static in this? Do you hear a lot of
it's
things?
No, ma'am.
It's just like you.
Okay.
A whisper, like a, you get what I'm saying? Like you probably got it close, too close or something. That's it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to read the scripture. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thy, with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall there be any plague that come nigh thy dwelling. And I have just read you from Psalms 91, from the 1st to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of His most holy word. God, we come, Father, we come humbly before Your throne of grace, asking You to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, and that we've committed against You in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come tonight, Lord, and we just come giving You praise, and all praise and all glory belong to You, Lord. And we come right now, Father, first of all, binding the strong man from our radio broadcast. We bind the strong man from our lives tonight in the name of Jesus. We bind up the strong man. We cast him out and we command him to go. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come right now, God, just asking You right now, Lord, to open up our understanding, open our minds up, Lord. Don't let us put a limit on You, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, let us understand the things that You're about to minister to us. I ask You now, God, to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us in the name of Jesus. Father, we'll be careful to give You all the praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask You to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Bless their families, Lord, and send Your anointing. Just send Your anointing, God. Let it rain, Lord, and send Your consuming fire, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let there be deliverance and healing through this word on tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it all. Amen, amen. Thank and praise God tonight for another opportunity to be back on our radio broadcast last week. We were talking about sowing. We were talking about 30, 60, and 100 fold, and we got into that. And I don't know where it is now, but we got into that. And I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm just going to tell you like this. 30, 60, and 100 fold doesn't say money, but it can be anything that you sow into. It can mean anything that you sow into. It doesn't have to mean money. It could be anything else. It can be time. It could be your talent. You know, you can be cooking. You can be cleaning. You can be helping someone else, take them to the doctor, whatever it is. That, you know, you can use that for that. Someone can sow into your life like that. So I just want to make that plain. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time because I've spent a whole lot of time studying it. And I didn't want to take up all of our time with it. And another thing, and I want to let everybody know, I'm not a person that's big, and I'm not even saying big, and I'm not a person that asks you for anything. But I was talked to today, and I was told today about my Cash App. I don't like doing that because I'm not that kind of person. You know, unless God tell you to give me anything, don't do it. Let it be God that give you whatever it is, you know, to give me anything. My Cash App is $Deborah Dean. I'm not putting it on nothing. You know, I'm not telling you this for you to give me an offering. I'm not. I'm just being obedient.
Could you spell it?
I'm being.
Could you spell it?
It's
could you spell it?
My
for
name,
me?
Deborah. It's $. Let me get you. It's $. DeBraDeaNes. That's it. And y'all know I don't like doing that, but I'm being obedient unto the Lord because I don't want to cut your blessings off because it's people that want to sow, and because I won't let them by not putting my Cash App up, they can't sow. If some people know my Cash App and they sow, believe me, they do sow into me, and I thank God for it. But I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to get you to do that because freely he give to me this word of God, and freely I'm going to give to you. I'm not charging you for the word of God. Amen. So we're going to get away from that because, you know, I want my reward from God for doing everything that I do. So we're talking about, like I said, I really forgot where we was, but we didn't have but three more in the thousands. I think we stopped at 18,000. And we are talking about visions of numbers. We've been talking about them for a while now, visions of numbers, and we stopped at 18,000. 18 is no problem. In 7, 7, and every number has scripture. Everything I'm saying has scripture, scriptorial. 18,000 in the 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 13, David fought against the Syrians, and as we say in the South, he evermore put one on them, and David got him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. This number was also used during one of the Israel's many civil wars, and Benjamin went forth against them in the second day and destroyed down to the ground of the children of Israel again 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. That's in Judges chapter 20, verse 25. Although the tribe of Benjamin actually lost, before going down, the little tribe got in one last hit on Israel. The implication of this civil strife isn't clear until you get to Judges 21:3 and say it, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? As a result of their fighting among themselves, Benjamin came within a hair's breadth of being completely destroyed. That was of him losing 18,000 men and then going back losing 18,000 more. So in 19,000, and we know, and see, we've been talking about this. Oh, I hope I started in the right place. Let me see. Anyway, you know, I'm going back, so I'm just going to go back so people will just know what that first number was. Okay, one is beginning. The number one means beginning. I'm just going to stay up to 10. The number two means divide or judge. The number three means conform. The number four means rule or reign. The number five means serve. The number six means image. The number seven means complete. Wait a minute. Complete. Number seven means complete, I think. Number 8 means put off. Number 9 means fruit or harvest. Let me go back and see what number 7 means. I think it's complete. Yeah, it means complete. And number 10 means weight, W-E-I-G-H-E-D, in the balances. It means accepting or rejecting. You know how a weight go from one side to another. One side means accepting and the other side means rejecting. So when you have the root word of all of this, these things, these the meaning of the numbers, you can use 1,000 and 2,000 or 20 or 30 and stuff like that because it has the same root word into it. So now we are 19,000. And now we come to the end, last but not least, that is. Although it is not mentioned in the Bible, I did, it was this. 19,000 means totally ashamed, fully useless, completely drained, utterly barren, and so forth. A simple system, you know, to summarize everything up, 1,100 and 11,000 are similar, as are 1,200 and 12,000 are the way through. 1,900 and 19,000. There are minor differences, but they're mostly a quantity, not quality. As you can see, there are really only 9 numbers to learn. That's what I just said. Then by learning to measure these base numbers by tens, hundreds, and thousands, you can achieve full understanding of the system. For the opposite or results, you need only reverse the root meaning. And so you can master the entire numeric system in short order. That's real simple. So, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about my husband. A little while ago, he came in the room. He woke up. He was in a vision. And he was just, and he woke up and came in the room. He said, "I need you to just hold on for a minute." And I said, "Okay." And he said, he told me about his vision. He said, like, I was in a vision. I was arguing back and forth with some church members and going back. And said, one of the women opened her Bible and pointed to a scripture and was telling me and this other lady the scripture, and they went back and forth. And so he was with one of the friends of his, and he was saying that they went in the house, and we went to the church, and he said that he and the guy looked up the scripture and say the scripture was saying something about Oceanside. And he said he looked up Oceanside and it meant death. And it really kind of scared him. So me, not going to let it rest, I got my notes and stuff on Oceanside. And I went, and he said it came out the, I said, "Well, what scripture was?" He said it was in the book of Isaiah. I can't remember. So he said Oceanside. So I looked at my notes in my book, and it said no Oceanside, but it said river. And river means spirit or life, spirit of God, spirit of man, righteousness. And it also says long river equals time. Steady flowing river, current river, equal passage of time. A rapid flowing river equal danger, tossed about. A deep or wide river equals difficulty, obstacle. Incomprehensible Muddy river equals spirit of the world, religious tradition of people, sin and wickedness. So I told him, I said, a river means the spirit or life, a spirit of God. And then I looked up death for him. Let me bring it up so I can just let you know what death means. Because you can't, because he was kind of really talking about it. And death means termination. Death means repentance. Death means loss. Death means sorrow. Death means failure. Death means separation. The end of a relationship. And it also can mean physical death when naturally interpreted. And everything is backed up with scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's John chapter 12 and 24. Because I was trying to tell him, every time you dream of death doesn't mean death, that as you know it. You could be dying to yourself, or I could have died to myself. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever he ever, you know, I was just in the dream, and I've always told you all since we started talking about dreams and vision, when you dream, most of the time when you dream, it's a message to you. It's about you. It's not about me. It's not about nobody else. It's a message God trying to get to you. So you have to think about who's in the dream, what's going on. He said me and the lady and another lady was having angry words back and forth like church people do. And so one lady got open her Bible at us and put her finger and read across there. And I guess they heard the scriptures and stuff like that. But this message was for him. This was for him. So when you dream in a dream, just know that God trying to get a message. It could be a message to somebody else, but why would God always give you a message when he can give it to them, even though they don't understand it? You know, because I used to dream all the time. When I first started preaching, I was married to a Baptist preacher that didn't allow women to preach. And God kept giving me sermons, and I would give it to him. And he kept giving me sermons, and I kept giving it to him. And I said, Lord, why you keep giving me sermons? You know, he said, I'm giving them to you for the preach. You giving them to him. And so I had to, you know, stand up and put my big girl panties on and let him know God is calling me to preach, whether you like it or not. And, oh, they had a fit, but it's okay. So now we're finna go into colors. And Brother Harold, I did, when I first got on here, I did talk about the seed and the sower. I didn't go into depth with it, but I do, like I told them, I'm not going to go into it. But anything you sow into, it don't have to be money. Anything you sow into like that, you can sow into it. You can sow into anything. You can use your time, talent, whatever. But I was more concerned about the 36 and 100 folds. I was saying that I had been praying over offerings using 36 and 100 fold, but this thing was talking about the seed. It was talking about the word of God, because you all know that when you sowing like that, you sowing, Jesus Christ is the one that do all the making it grow and all that. But when you, it's the word of God that we were talking about, the seed of God, because if you don't grab it and let it digest and get in your heart, the devil come and snatch it from you. So I didn't want to go into all that, but if you sowing something, if you sowing anything, it don't have to be money. My understanding of it don't have to be money. It could be anything that you, any service that you do, you can sow it into something. So we're going to go on to coloring, colors. So we talked about before the four ways that symbols obtain meaning. And the first one was inherited characteristics, personal experience, culture, and scriptures. And when we studied numbers, we used scriptures as the sole basics for our definitions. That's why I said every one of them had scripture behind it. These definitions came directly from the creation and God's dealing with humanity. We noted that cultures also influences the meaning of certain symbols used in the Bible. So the primary characteristics of many symbols is a direct product of creation. A wolf devours a lamb naturally because he's a wolf. And a lamb can't really defend himself or herself. A lamb, or they are defenseless by nature. So that's natural because it inherent character is also used to determine the meaning of symbols in scriptures. So we should consider it when searching for the meaning of colors, whether within or without scripture. And since there is no linear order to colors, we will discuss them in the order suggested here. Black. A lot of people dream black, you know, and we always think black is bad, and maybe so, but black is lack, L-A-C-K. There are probably few passages of scripture more controversial than the four horses of the One of those horses is black, and the scripture is coming from Revelation 6:5-6, and it says, "And whom and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." So I don't really get it yet, the lack of black. Although we want to avoid a aforementioned controversial, you should know that this passage refers directly to the terrible famine prophesied by Amos that occurred during the Dark Ages. So that's what it's about, because I'm like, okay, because it was a famine, a bad famine, and Amos prophesied it. And that was during the Dark Ages. It says from Amos 8:11, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing the word of the Lord." So it was a famine from the word of God. The word of God wasn't there. So they had food and water, but they did not have God's word. And the balance the rider was holding measured food, but not much of it. Remember I said black is lack. It's like that they was in that Revelation, the person that was riding a black horse was had a pair of balances in his hand. And he had a balance, the balances in his hand, and the balances was to weigh the food, and it was a famine portion. He was giving out famine portions. A penny was a 4 days' wage, and a measure of wheat only one meal. During that spiritual famine, people worked all day for just one meal. Because darkness is the absence of light, when light appears, darkness disappears. So the primary meaning of black is lack. Because when the light comes on, darkness is gone. Ignorance of lack of knowledge. So black may indicate ignorance. In our culture, it's also the color used to recognize death. Black, because we wore black to funerals and stuff like that. We wore black to funerals to signify grief over losing a loved one. Death is the absence of life. It's lack of life. Subsequently, death is an extended meaning of black. Black often means bad news, such as the report that Job received when Satan destroyed his flock and children. Job also used black to describe his condition when he was physically afflicted. He said, "My skin is black upon me, and my bones are buried with heat." That's Job chapter 30, verse 30. And another way to envision the meaning of black is to think of the black darkness of night and what happens during that time, as we see in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Twilight in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and stubble of heart." So black can mean wickedness. Black can mean evil. Black can mean sin. Black can mean famine. Black can mean grief and death. Black can mean ignorance. All of that is ugly. Almost all symbols have both positive and negative meaning. Therefore, black can also mean beautiful. Black is beautiful. "I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem." That's the Songs of Solomon, first chapter, verse 5. If that wasn't true, Ford and Chevy wouldn't make so many black cars, and Mercedes and all other cars, because black looks good. In addition, the opposite of lack is substance. So black can also indicate substance. It can mean the very opposite of drought and famine, abundance. And it's a scripture for that. And it came to pass as Elijah prayed at the seventh time that he, his servant, said, "Behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 44 and 45. It's so important. Just like I said, when my husband woke up, he was really disturbed about the dream. Because naturally, when God, it was a message to him, and he was dreaming, and it's like that ocean side to him meant death. He said he looked it up. He went to the back of his dictionary in the vision and found Oceanside. And he said the Oceanside means dreaming, mean death, and that's not what it meant. So we have to really, and then God gave him the book where this came from, Isaiah. He told me that I came down to my office, and my Bible was laying on my desk, and it was already turned to Isaiah 38. That's where it was. So I had about 5 minutes before the broadcast started. I ran back upstairs. I said, I only have a second. But I wanted to assure him I'm teaching on interpreting dreams and visions, and I had to help him so he would sit up there and think about this and try to interpret it wrong, because most of the times when we dream about death, it's always bad to us. But death can mean that you dying to the old man. You know, you dying to something, whatever it is. You know, death can be repentance. You know, that you need to go repent or loss. Or, you know, you have to think of it not always in a bad way. Because just like you can birth a ministry can die. Just like that. So we have to have our minds open. We have to have our minds open. So we're getting ready to talk about blue. Is there any questions? Anybody have any dreams they want to share or visions or anything like that that they need to talk about, that they can talk about? Okay. Because we want to encourage people, and if you have any questions about anything that you're unsure of, you know.
I do.
We can discuss. Uh-huh.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I have been seeing the number one all day, like 1-1-1-1, like 4 ones in a row.
Really?
I was just wondering, what does that mean? Yeah.
You know what that number one means? Beginning. That number
so
one means
beginning.
Yep. It's a beginning of something.
So like a new beginning.
Yeah. Because that was the first number ever mentioned in Genesis. Symbolically, the meaning of one is beginning. Another meaning is first. God is number one. But by this, we mean that he comes first. He's the best, most important, and so forth. One thing for certain, God is number one in every sense of the word. Of course, in the natural use of the word, one can also mean singular, as in one God. So I'm just thinking, you know, if something finna birth, or, you know, something is birthing, it's beginning of something. You're giving birth to something, you know. That's what I see. And even with the number, I was trying to find the number 11, which it should be in here. But I don't see it. But I know that 11 is the last or the end. One means beginning, 11 means the end or last. And that starts the parables for the numbers. But I just feel like you giving birth, or it's the beginning of something for you. You know, that's how I feel about it. So, and we'll pray about it, because a lot of things the Holy Spirit have to give to you.
Okay. So that's probably following up with the dream I had when I was giving birth to a baby.
Yeah.
And then I guess I died in my dream.
Yeah.
Because I closed my eyes and then everything went black.
Mm-hmm. And I just, all of that, what I just said about black, kind of interpreted, and death, because death don't mean die. you could have been dying to that old man, and you birthing something new. You giving birth to something new. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
Anybody
you.
Else?
Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, sweetheart. Okay. We want to talk about blue. Blue is spiritual, and I don't care for blue too much because my house is kind of got some blue in it I don't like, but it's very similar to black and also has a double meaning. Blue is the color of the sky. That's the color of my dining room on a beautiful day, so it means heavenly. In the beginning, God created the blue heavens and the earth. Aaron wore a beautiful blue robe every time he went into God's presence, signifying that he was entering into the heavenly realm. I better stop that talking about my dining room. And thou shalt make the priest's robe of the ephod all of blue. So the priest's robe of the ephod are all blue. Exodus chapter 28, verse 31. Aaron's robe was part of the pattern of things in the heavens. Hebrews 9 and 23. The blue sky is composed of air, which symbolizes the spirit of God. So blue can mean spirit or spiritual. This is one of the most common usages that I encountered. It also appears to be the root meaning, although these two heavenly and spiritual are often interchangeable, because that which is heavenly is spiritual. Some spiritual things aren't heavenly, so the reverse isn't always true. Jesus said that his word were spirit. Therefore, another branch for blue is God's word. For example, a blue washcloth may refer to the washing of the waters of the word or spiritual cleaning. See, when you have visions and dreams, God uses simple things for that. God uses simple things. So you can, in things that you know about, like a wash rag, and like that, you have to keep your mind open and focused on it. Okay, mentioning water, another part of God's marvelous creation is the deep blue sea. Anyone who has ever seen satellite pictures of the earth is struck by its beauty, the lofty swirling clouds and the seas, awesome blue colors are spellbinding. In certain passages of scriptures, the seas represent either God or humanity, depending on the context and the sea's color. Reinforces this symbolism. Isaiah declared, "The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea," Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. But he also compared it to wicked and sinful men. He said, "But wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, Isaiah 57 and 20. Then he used it as a symbol for the Gentile nation. The abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, Isaiah 60 and 5. Returning to the subject of the sky, God's spirit is always heavenly, spirits or not. Neither are people always happy. When they're sad, we say they're singing the blues. So instead of heavenly, blue may indicate that someone is down in the dumps. A very light shade of blue sometimes indicates the spirit of people. While any shade of blue can symbolize God's spirit. So we know in our dreams. The color blue symbolizes God's spirit. Now, one night I dreamed about a lot of lights. The first time I ever saw these lights, it was just like we was at the drive-in, but I was by myself at the drive-in, and I just seen car lights. I was in a dark place. I was in somewhere like at a drive-in, and I just saw lights. I'm like, what are those, car lights? But they were angels. And so the last time I saw them was about 2-3 weeks ago. It was just so many lights like that. I just saw, and I think I was praying in my living room, and God just showed me a vision where it was just so many angels. That's what they were. Because, you know, I would have been trying to think about what is all these lights or these stars. But he just assured me these are angels. And I didn't stop praying. I just kept praying. Because a lot of times you can see things even when you're praying, even in visions and dreams, you can see things, and it'll distract you and kind of bring you out of whatever you was in. So you want to always, and if you come out, you make sure, whatever you do, you make sure you write it down. When you dream of anything, and the next morning you wake up, God wakes you up, you write what you dreamed down, whatever it was, what you can remember. So God will tell you what it is. You don't have to call me. You don't have to call nobody. You can. You can call me anytime, but I'm saying you don't have to, because if you pray and ask God to interpret that dream for you, God will interpret that dream for you. God will do it. So we just have to keep our minds open that God will do it. When we don't believe that God can do it, if we ask him, we just have to have faith, but God will do it. He's done so many dreams for me. Just visions. I can sit up and he'll just show you what it is, what's going on. He'll show you some things you want to ask, you may not want to know. You may not want to know. But us being human, we want to know what our dreams mean most of the time. And the colors are so significant. When you have a dream, you're supposed to look at everything in that dream. Everything, because he said, my husband was telling me, he said, if some little girls came, well, those were angels. They came up to him and the other guy, and they had on white shirts and blue skirts. And they were little girls, and they were saying something about the scripture, and they walked away. And he said he looked around, they was gone. So that's why I know they were angels, because I've had that experience before. God will send angels to you. A lot of times we don't know when we're in the presence of angels, but I've been in the presence of many angels, because when I was living in Florida this one time, and I've told you all this before, it was Hurricane Andrew, and I had never been in a hurricane, and so it was supposed to arrive maybe 4 or 5 hours later, but I was in the kitchen cooking, and the doorbell rang, and I said, well, I get it, and I went downstairs, staying in a townhouse, and I opened the door, and there was two little girls, and they were saying, ma'am, do you have any quarters with the states on them? I'm looking at them, I see it's quarters with the states on them. And they said, yes, ma'am. And they look like two little foreign girls. So I said, let me go check. And I went to my purse, and I had a few quarters. So when I went down back to give it to them, I gave it to them. And they left. And then I'm saying to myself, walking back upstairs, what mother would let their child out this wind blowing like this? These was little girls, about 6 or 7 years old. And so I got back up in the kitchen and turning the chicken. I said, they didn't give me enough for my quarters. They just going door to door asking people for money. I said, they didn't give me nothing. But I sold into my life, because the hurricane, my cable stayed on. The hurricane didn't touch me. Across the street, it was trees uprooted off the ground, big trees. my lights didn't go out. My television didn't go off during the whole hurricane. So God sent some angels by, and they got a seed for my life. You understand? So we have to look at things. I would have never thought a mother would let that wind was blowing very hard. And they standing in the door talking about a quarter with some states on it. I had two or three quarters. I gave it to them. And they gave me nothing back, so I thought. But you don't know what might have would have happened if I hadn't did that. You know, so we have to keep, when you in God, and some people don't believe, you know, I can't help that because you don't believe, because I believe. Everything God say and do, I believe. I believe the word of God. I believe his angels. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe it. Everything in this word of God, I believe. I don't care what it seemed like, what it looked like, I believe. So, and it can get so weird and so deep when I tell you. It can get weird and deep, but sometimes God has to get like that to open up our understanding for us to see. Because we have to, we're going to say, so tradition, oh, girl, ain't nothing like that happening. Ain't this, they ain't even, they ain't trying to see what God trying to show them. If they just go to Revelations and see all of what John saw, if you just could see what John saw and try to describe to us all of that stuff, you wouldn't, if you don't just believe this little stuff, you would have never believed what John saw. And it's the word of God. He didn't even write all that was in what he saw. He didn't even open up all them seals. But I'm telling you, time is nigh thee. The time is nigh thee. I just want to give a word. The time is now. We better get it in order now. Because God is the only one can take a man down and put another one up. He's the only one that can do that. Things are finna change here. That it's gonna be a shift here around, I guess, around the last week of October and the first week of November. And I want to tell you right now, whatever you do, keep your mouth closed about people. Watch who you talk about. Watch the words that you say about people. Just don't say nothing about them. Humble yourself. Do the right thing. Because it's going to be a shift take place between, and we all know the election coming. We all know that. But it's going to be a shift. You're going to know the difference. Watch what I tell you. What, because God been doing something with me for the last three mornings or nights or whatever they are, heavy glory. I was in such a glory cloud yesterday morning. I started to call my husband because I couldn't get out of it. I had to stay down. It was a good place. Believe me, it was a good place, but it was getting heavier and heavier. And you can tell when angels are present. I don't know if you ever felt this feeling when you're in the presence of the Lord, of angels. It's a feeling that you get. And I was down and they was there. So, and I stayed down. I had to stay there until they allowed me to get up. And so when I did get up, I guess I had been there almost an hour. But the glory cloud in my living room was so thick and heavy. It was awesome. It was awesome. But I know when the Spirit of the Lord comes, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, it's a shift coming. It's a shift coming. And I just want everybody to just stay prayerful. The end of the month, the first week in November, maybe to the second week, you all stay prayerful because things are going to change. Because it's sure if he take one man down and put another one up, change. This thing has changed. And we got to just get prepared, because it's going to be a whole lot of stuff going on, especially racism stuff. I just think you need to not be staying out the street and watch where you're going and just stay prayerful. This is what I'm saying. I want you to just stay prayerful and get you enough food after Trump lose or whoever, whatever. If that happens, we need to stay out the way. Just stay out the way, because I'm not going to be out there. I'm not going out for that whole week. I'm not afraid. I'm just going to stay out the way till things kind of settle down. They may not settle down right then, but we need to be listening for what the Lord is telling us to do. We need to be listening. If God give you a vision, see what he's talking about. If he show you in a dream, know that it's God trying to warn you or something, or tell you something. This is what we have to do. I know God is going to let us know and allow people. We got to be seeking God now. We got to be trusting him. We got to have faith in the Lord. We got to make sure we're in the right place. We got to make sure we're ready. Because after all of this stuff happens, revival's going to go through the land. Revival's coming. Right, revival going to come in all over the earth. Revival, that's what I tell you. Amen. So we stop right here at the shade of blue. Next week we're going to have a color combination, and we're going to go on with green and brown and tan and Christmas colors and all that. We're going to go on using colors for our dreams and what they mean in our dreams. This is going to help us when we help other people interpret their dreams and vision, because other people come to you and say, girl, brother, I had a dream, and then so-and-so, so-and-so, and then you maybe be able to help them interpret those dreams. So we're gonna get ready to close out. Father, we just thank you for opening up our understanding, Lord. We thank you for the teacher, the Holy Ghost. We thank you on tonight for covering us in the blood. Father, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice and encamp your angels all around them and their family, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, to just bless them with the blessing they stand in need of, Lord. We just thank you right now for your anointing tonight. We thank you for deliverance tonight. We thank you for being set free in the name of Jesus. Lord, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. And you all just be blessed. Have a blessed night. And we'll be right back here on Thursday night at the same time, at the very same time. We'll be right back here. So God bless you all. You have a good night. Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
You're still mine and strong. So find the battle for me and help my unbelief. So I can tell all my friends that you